Hello students, as you can see the PowerPoint presentation before you, I have divided the chapter, the Sermon at Benares, into two modules, and I will deal with the first module here. Now, in the very first module, as you will notice, a pretty painting of the city of Benares is visible, and the holy river Ganges is distinctly seen. The city of Benares is therefore considered one of the most important pilgrimages in India and is thronged by tourists throughout the year. So the city in India, obviously everybody knows it, and throughout the world it is praised. Okay, it is seen as something which is, it is almost worshipped, okay, like a deity. Now the second slide follows a brief glimpse of the life of the author Betty Louis Renshaw Barber, and we can see that she was a woman who had obtained her Bachelor of Arts degree from Mississippi College and later did her Master's from Mississippi University for Women, both in USA. And what is important about her life is that she was a very active missionary worker. So she was a very religious woman and was devoted to God, and believed, she had firm faith in God's kindness and the creation of the world as the handiwork of God. Now moving on to the third slide of the first half, as you will notice again, okay, the theme of the first half has been discussed in brief. Now what is the theme? We will have a brief glimpse of it. Renouncing all material comforts, Lord Buddha left behind his duties and royal comforts and walked on in search of the ultimate truth to unravel the mysteries of life and death. We can notice Lord Buddha meditating here. Okay, this picture, as you can see, Lord Buddha is meditating, he's lost in meditation. And this picture shows this picture is actually is a statue of the Lord in Hong Kong, deeply lost in his thoughts. Now the fourth slide. In the fourth and the fifth slides, actually, I have dealt in detail with the matter of the story, as you can see. Now as we read the story, all of you will notice that Lord Buddha was, you can say that he was destined to, become a monk, and he was destined to, I should say within quotes, that he was destined to rule the world as a religious person and somebody whom the entire world will follow. And of course, that happened also. Buddhism is now one of the widely known, followed and praised religions all over the world. It is not only a religion, it is actually a stream of thought, okay, a stream of consciousness. And there are lakhs of followers all over the world. So Lord Buddha, he went away, but what he left behind in his legacy is noteworthy. So this chapter, the Sermon in Benares, is it deals briefly with the life of the Lord. Reading the chapter, we can conclude that Lord Buddha's birth as a royal prince in northern India did not change his destiny. Okay, so he belonged to a royal family, but it did not change his destiny. He was destined to move out of his home and left behind his wife and his son and became a monk, as I said earlier. Now the life which he chose was not easy. Obviously, the life as a monk was not easy. Now at present also, those who are monks, you can see, okay, in the temples if you visit, or the monasteries if you visit, anywhere in India or across the world, the life of a monk is not easy. Okay, it is full of struggles, and you can say, I'll use the word painful, because a person is bound to leave his family or her family and the members of the family. So it becomes difficult. Okay, they are alive. You can see, you might get news from them, but still you cannot meet them because you have chosen a life. Okay, at your own, what is called, you have consciously chosen that life. So wandering for 7 years and with no success, he finally attained enlightenment under a peepal tree, which is now located at Bodh Gaya in Bihar. The enlightened Lord, with his new wisdom and understanding of life and death, went to preach his first sermon at Sarnath, Banaras, in UP. This sermon, as we will see, this is the first sermon, this is his first teaching after becoming a monk, after attaining enlightenment. Okay, after attaining the universal knowledge of the world, or I should say life. So he preached, okay, he gave his first sermon at Sarnath in UP. So this sermon puts emphasis on the indomitable strength of death and its universality. Okay, I'm using the word universality because this term universality is, it refers to what I would call that it is universal, it is spread, it is spread throughout the world. Okay, you cannot deny death, or there is nobody in the world who can escape death as such. Okay, be it poor, be it rich, everybody is prone to death. So the whole mortal world is prone to death and its uncertainty. Okay, so death is uncertain. Obviously, nobody knows when he or she is going to leave the world. But everybody wants, okay, being a mortal, being a living, see, animals don't have emotions as such, but being a mortal, you have to, what is called, everybody wants that, yes, everybody should have a fulfilling life, and everybody should, what is called, yes, I have my family, or I should have a life which is, what is called, which will be respected by everybody, and I would have a good career, or if I don't marry, at least I would prosper in life. So these are the thoughts which generally comes to a person, comes to a person who is alive, okay, and nobody wants, nobody welcomes death. Death is not welcomed by anybody. So the reference to Kisa Gautami's loss of her only son, as we will read the story, and her futile efforts to have him back proves this. Okay, so Kisa Gautami is a small incident referring to this woman who had lost her son, and this incident proves that death is not in our hands. Okay, we are powerless before death. Now, though she enthusiastically went on to bring a handful of mustard seeds, when we read the story, you will find that she went on to bring a handful of mustard seeds as instructed by the Lord, she returned empty-handed, helpless and pitiable. Every house she had visited could not deny the fact that she had not witnessed loss of any beloved or friend or relative. So, as instructed by Lord Buddha, she went to every house, okay, made an effort to know that, yes, do you have a handful of mustard seeds? Everybody, okay, every house said, yes, we do have a handful of mustard seeds. We can provide you with a handful of mustard seeds. But when she asked that, yes, that haven't you lost anybody in the past few years, or anybody in your life, okay, in the house, has anybody lose his or her life in the house? So everybody said, no, we have, obviously we have lost, okay, somebody or the other has departed, okay. So Kisa Gautami went away, went back to Lord Buddha, okay, pitiable, helpless. Okay, she did not have anything to say, and she went to seek his blessings. She also concluded that man's life was just like the flickering lights of the city, one day bound to extinguish. Okay, so Kisa Gautami, she she sits, okay, she ponders, and she sits at the wayside, and looking at the lights of the city, the flickering lights of the city, she has these thoughts, okay, the thoughts also flicker, okay, her thoughts also flicker, and she realizes that human life is flickering, okay, it is dynamic, it is not constant, okay, you cannot overpower death, you cannot win over death, okay, yes, somebody lives a long life, somebody has a short life, that is different, but nobody can conquer death. Virtues like kindness, selflessness, and generosity could cleanse a person's heart and soul. Now, she also concludes that virtues, okay, good values or virtues, good qualities like kindness, selflessness, and generosity. Okay, so kindness, you know, selflessness, generosity could cleanse a person's heart and soul. Okay, so generosity and kindness, they are almost the same thing. Okay, more or less. Another thing is truthfulness. Okay, leading a truthful life, leading an honest life is also very important. So, kindness or generosity, selflessness and truthfulness. Okay, it could cleanse a person's heart and soul. A person becomes closer to God. Okay, the next four slides, that is slide number 6, 7, 8 and 9. Okay, these four slides. Now, what do we see in these four slides? These four slides, they project, okay, what do they project? The difficult words used in the various paragraphs marked in the first half of the story. Okay, so first of all, we will move on to the sixth slide. As you can see, there are 13 words, and I would read out the words for your convenience. The first word is sacred, the second is scriptures, third is befitted, fourth one is heretofore, then shielded, sixth is funeral, seventh is procession, eighth is chanced upon, ninth is monk, tenth is alms, 11th enlightenment, 12th concern or concerning, and the last one is witnessed or witness. So what I have done is, in some of the words, as you can see, for example, concern or concerning, or maybe the 13th, witnessed or witness. See, if you notice the paragraph on the left side, okay, the word here used is witnessed. Okay, so I have used that word, but witnessed or witness, okay, the past tense or the present tense, the meaning is the same, but I have used the meanings in the two tense, I should say. And in the second case, concern or concerning, same thing, related to something. Okay, these two words means I've used an oblique in the 12th one and in the 13th one, so the question might arise. And in the other words, I have used I've copied the other words, just means in the same way as they are in the paragraph. So the meaning of the meanings of the 13 words are given, okay, in the tabular form, and this will help you out to understand the paragraph, the first paragraph which I have chosen. Now, moving on to the seventh slide, six words. There are six words in the seventh slide, as you can see. Preached, the first one. Second is sermon. Third is dipping places. Fourth is preserved, fifth is inscrutable, and sixth is vowed. So the six words and their meanings on the right hand side. Again, there is an oblique in the first one. Okay, no need to explain. I don't think there is an explanation required, like the first slide. Okay. So these are the meanings. Six meanings used. And then the eighth slide. In the eighth slide, again there are four words. So the first one is grief, the second one is thee, third is thy, and the fourth is repaired. Now, as you can see that the second and the third word, okay, thee and thy, they are both archaic English. Okay, we generally don't use it in the prosaic language. When we are writing a story or a novel or as such, but it is used, okay, we cannot say that yes, it is wrong, but we use, but still it is an archaic English. Generally it is used in poetry. So di means you and thy means your. You must have seen, you must have read poems where these two words are used, and these are very frequently used. Okay, so these are two archaic English, means old English words. Clear? So these are the four words used here in this paragraph. Now moving on to the ninth slide, there are three words. The first is procure, second is pitted, and third is remind. So there are three words having three meanings. So these three words along with the three meanings are given, and as you can see, unlike the sixth slide, the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth, they have the less words as corresponding with the paragraph, as required by the paragraph. I think these words are enough to cover. I've done justice. Okay, I've done justice by covering the words. I don't think any other word is left in the slides. Many difficult word as such. So these are the four slides covering the difficult words used in the various paragraphs of the first half. And these are the on the right hand side, the table is given. As you can see, the meanings will help you out definitely. On the left hand side, I have put down, okay, I have what is called mentioned or pasted the paragraphs, okay, directly from the text. Okay, the textual paragraph as such is pasted on the left hand side, as you will notice in the four slides, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. So please read the paragraph and then correspondingly, okay, simultaneously go to the word meanings. Okay, a reading of the paragraph completely once and then the word meanings simultaneously. It will help you out. Okay, and the concluding slide, the 10th slide, showing again, this is a picture of Gautam Buddha, okay, Lord Buddha, deeply lost in thoughts and meditation. So this is the concluding slide. So this was all for the first module. I hope all these 10 slides would help you out to understand the first half of the story. Thank you all.